If you're looking to level up your points redemptions and make the most out of your points and miles, make sure you check out our step-by-step video tutorials on the GeoBreeze Travel YouTube channel. And if you're looking to level up your points earning game and get access to points earning techniques that you won't often find online, we're opening up for another cohort of my signature course, The Points Accelerator, very soon. You'll get access to exclusive offers like earning 5 points per dollar on fee-free Visa and MasterCard gift cards anytime you want without having to leave your couch to drive to Staples. Sign up for the waitlist by going to geobreezetravel.com/waitlist and check out what some of our students have to say about the course.
My name is Carlos, and I'm a student at the Points Accelerator program. I joined the program in September of 2022, and I'm excited to say I just booked a five-night stay in Cancun, Mexico on points. This program taught me how to book this flight on points and even how to earn a companion pass for free. We're staying at an all-inclusive Hilton property with the fifth night for free. It would have been well over $6,000. So I'm really excited to say that we're saving that much money from what I learned from the Points Accelerating program. As an added bonus, this program showed me how to get upgraded from a standard room to a suite.
I think Andaz is probably my favorite brand. The breakfast was very similar to the Grand Hyatt. I did order my Eggs Benedict with the hard yolk again. They also do have the machine for the fresh nut butter. But I checked in these hotels and I asked how much would it have cost if we had to pay for breakfast. And I think at the Andaz it was $44 per person. And at the Grand Hyatt it was $48. So to be able to get that benefit was good. What was my favorite thing that I had? They had local sausages, which we got to try. German sausages, definitely a must try. I had a persimmons for the first time and figs for the first time ever.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Nicole Haynes from Nicole's Travel Tips. Nicole is a wife, soccer mom to two teenagers, marathon runner, and middle school and high school math teacher. Born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica, she moved to the US when she was 20 years old. A few years back, she got used to extreme couponing, which was her gateway into points and miles. In this episode, Nicole and I dive into her family's recent trip to Germany, including what they flew, where they stayed, how much it all cost, and how they earned all those points. We also cover some of my recent trip to Germany, where my husband and I experienced our first ever first-class flight on Singapore Suites from Frankfurt to JFK. If you're looking to level up your travel experiences with perks like airport lounge access for your whole family, top-tier rental car status, and a $300 travel credit every year, make sure you check out the Capital One Venture X, which is rapidly growing in popularity as one of the most popular cards for families who like to travel using points and miles. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Venture X or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral links. If you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. We have links to the Venture X and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Hey, Nicole, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, Julia, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to have you here today.
So excited to be here. This is like 9 months in the making for me.
Yeah. And speaking of things that take a long time to plan, we're going to talk about your trip to Germany today and like how much you saved, what you booked, all the details. But before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
I'm Nicole Haynes from Nicole's Travel Tips. I am a mother of two, marathon runner. I moved to the US from Jamaica when I was 20 years old, and I've been in Miami ever since then. I love exchanging my time for like maximum benefit. I don't always have the money, but I have the time. So years back, I used to extreme coupon. So I think points and miles fits in perfectly with that type of lifestyle that I used to do. I'm a high school math teacher. So again, the numbers run right in line with the points and miles. I've been enjoying the benefits of this hobby.
How do you have time since you're a teacher, which takes a ton of time, and a mom, and you run marathons, and you do all this? How do you have the time?
Sleep is what usually gets sacrificed.
How much do you sleep, or how little do you sleep?
I would say if I get 7 hours, it's good. It's better now, not that I'm not in marathon training, but in the peak of marathon training, a day could go from 4 a.m. to 10 p.m.
That's rough.
It's what I'm used to, so it's fine.
How did you get into the world of points and miles?
Let's backtrack. I think I was doing it 10 years ago, but I didn't know. When I first moved here, I got a Delta Sky Miles card, and I've been racking up points on it for 10 years at one point, and I took a trip to Detroit for my family of four. I had completely forgot about this card. I found your podcast, was listening and learning, and something said, let me check back on that card. And when I checked that card, I had 160,000 Delta miles just sitting there. The biggest thing was I thought, did I spend $160,000? Like, I'm assuming there's some bonus in there somewhere. But how do I get into it? One night, deep dive into YouTube, you know, when one video links to the other video to the other video. And so I found a video, I forgot the gentleman's name, and then it was just all dive in from there.
When you dove back into points and miles, what cards did you start with when you were like, oh, I have this Delta card, I should add onto it with other things? What was kind of your journey from there?
In one night, I applied for two cards. I applied for the Capital One Venture X, that was my first one, and the Chase Freedom Flex. That was a 5 points on the grocery that got me on the second one.
How did you choose those cards first? Was there any particular reason? Was it the grocery thing?
For me, the Capital One Venture X, I chose that because the $395 was offset by the value that I was getting. So in my mind, it would equate to $0. And at the time when I applied, it was 100,000 bonus miles for the 4,000 in spend. So that seemed like a great deal at the time. It was between that actually and the Amex Platinum. I don't know why that. I think Lounge Access was my draw actually.
How many cards do you have now?
It's in the double digits. I would say more than 10, less than 20.
Yeah. All right. So you guys dove deep. When you were getting into this, did it take a lot of effort to get your husband on board too? Was he like, you've gone crazy, or was he pretty good on board?
Initially, it started out real slow. I got one card. He got another card. I think that lasted maybe 6 to 8 months. Then getting a taste of Chase and Hyatt, then it snowballed over then. He's pretty much on board. Every now and then he's like, why are we doing this again? And I'm like, do you remember that vacation you took last time? This is why we're doing it. Okay. But I take most of the brunt of the work. It's hard every month to change the bills from card to card to card, but I see the benefit in it. So I think it's worth the time.
Perfect. And speaking of how much you guys have saved with these different points and miles trips, tell us about your most recent trip to Germany and break down all the details for us, like the planning for it. What did you guys fly? Where did you stay? How much did you save? Talk to us about all the details. Let's start with flights. How did you find flights over there?
Well, first of all, I had my kids make a list of the countries that they wanted to go to. We were planning to go to Salt Lake City for skiing because we did that last year. But looking at the flight prices, it was almost 50% more than it was last year. The Deal Duchess posted this thing about Norse Airlines, and I was a little skeptical because I hadn't heard of them before. But for our flight for four round trip with the addition of bags each way, it was a total of $1,550 roughly for four people. And Germany was one of the countries on my son's list, and he was studying German in high school. So I was like, this is a perfect opportunity.
So it was a cheap cash fare rather than a points thing to get over there.
Yes. It was what, round trip, $350 per person. Like,
that is not bad at all. And you're East Coast, you're in Miami, so it's not too far of a flight for you guys, right?
It was 9.5 hours going and then about 10 hours coming back.
That's still pretty significant, but for $350 per person round trip, that is not bad at all.
No, I can't get a flight that much to Jamaica, and it's only about less than 2 hours.
That is crazy. Were you guys flying into Frankfurt or Berlin, or where into?
We flew into Berlin.
So how about hotels? When you found this cheap cash deal, were you already jumping on trying to plan what hotels to do on points?
Well, before I got the ticket, I had to check to make sure there was a Hyatt there because, you know, there's no Hyatt, chances are we're probably not going. So there is a Hyatt in Berlin, which was perfect. We were originally going to spend all 5 nights in Berlin. And my son also loves soccer, my daughter too, but there's a Munich soccer team. So we opted to take the train a couple of hours and spend a few days in Munich also. And the points analysts highly recommended checking out the Andaz in Munich. So it made the trip even more worth it.
Where did you stay in Berlin? Let's start there.
We stayed at the Grand Hyatt in Berlin. I love transportation in Berlin. I remember when I talked to you earlier, you talked about having cities that are connected by these public transportation system. And I think in Germany, especially in Berlin, it was flawless. We took a train from the airport, a train to the central station, and then a train directly to our hotel. It was less than a 5-minute walk from the train station.
Yeah, I love that about most other cities outside of the US where their public transit is so good. And the only time it doesn't really work is if you're one of those people who has like 3 giant suitcases with you. It can be a little bit of an annoyance to walk up and down a whole bunch of staircases with those suitcases. But we always just have like 1 suitcase between me and my husband and then a couple backpacks or carry-on bags. So then it's not bad at all to use the train system. And like you mentioned, it's really easy in Berlin. Even if you don't speak German, can't really read German, Google Maps understands all of it. So something I would highly recommend if you are visiting Germany is to look into the public transit system.
Definitely. I first started out trying to learn German and someone told me, don't waste your time. Most people speak English anyways. And we didn't come across a big language barrier. If we needed to translate maybe 1 out of 10 times, somebody else would actually jump in and help translate for us.
And then for anything that's written, like menus or anything, Google Translate has photo mode where you can just scan in with your phone and it will translate right before your eyes with Google Translate. So that's a really, really handy tool to have as well.
This trip was the first time I used Google Translate. Side note, we took a day trip to Salzburg, Austria on a recommendation from a friend. We came across something. We didn't know what it was. We tried it and we loved it. And we had to scan the picture to figure out what it was. Apparently, it was something called fruit milk. Who knew? But it was delicious. So yes, Google Translate with the photo. Oh, life changing.
I had never heard of fruit milk, but that's super interesting. Tell us a little bit more about the Grand Hyatt in Berlin. What was your experience like, especially as a globalist?
First, I have to shout out to the doorman called Jose. I went on a run in the morning and we had a little conversation before I left. As soon as I came back, like before I even pushed the door, he was like, how was your run? Here is some water. Like the fact that he remembered that I was out there running and waited for me with the water was perfect. The service is top notch. The hotel has been around for a while. It's Berlin's only Hyatt. We had 2 rooms. And after the first night, they upgraded one of the rooms to a suite. The ladies that served us breakfast always remembered our orders. We were only there for 3 days. But from day 1 to day 3, she remembered exactly what we ordered. The spa is beautiful. Breakfast was great. They had a live honeycomb at breakfast. I've never seen that before. I don't know. That was just elegant for me.
What did you order for breakfast?
What didn't I order on the first day? I like to take a little bit of everything. I think my weirdest order is I always order eggs Benedict, but I want my yolk cooked hard. So
that
I always
is weird.
I always feel like when they place the order back in the kitchen, like the cook is or the chef is looking at it like, who is this?
I would look at that order like that.
Yeah, it's about the sauce on the eggs for me. We definitely tried the honeycomb. And the other exciting thing, which we also saw at the Andaz, is that they have a machine where they put the fresh nuts in, mixed it with chocolate, and you can grind your own like nut butter freshly there because nut butter in the jar is not good enough. You have to have it freshly made.
That is amazing. So anything else that people should know about Grand Hyatt Berlin? How many points did it cost per night?
I think we were at 15,000 points per night. We were there 3 nights and in 2 rooms. I have to say, definitely when you're planning your day, their club lounge is open. So it's open for tea time. So after breakfast, so there's always coffee and tea available throughout the day up until I think 8 o'clock. There is snack time, which has little things like desserts, little pastries, coffee, juice, beer, and wine open then. And then the happy hour has a little bit heavier snacks. I remember there were a few nights we skipped dinner and we actually ate the food that was there in the lounge. So that also helped us save money because we didn't have to pay for dinner. So you'd have to weigh out if you're paying cash, if it's worth it to spend extra on the club lounge. But I did a reel on it and it could save you $40 to $50, you know, times that by 4 people. depending on how many people you're with.
Where is it located in Berlin? Like, what's pretty close by?
Our stop was called Potsdamer Platz. I think I'm saying that correctly. And it is less than a half a mile walk to the Brandenburg Gate. And there's this big garden. I think it's Tiergarten. That's across the street from the Brandenburg Gate. And also the Holocaust Memorial. I'm sure people have seen it online with the little blocks in memory of the people that passed in the Holocaust. That's also a half a mile away. So I would say it's pretty centrally located.
That's awesome. When we were in Berlin, we stayed at the Hotel Luc, which is a Marriott hotel. I think you can use a 35,000 free night certificate to stay there. And it's a really nice hotel. And I also applied suite upgrade certificates, which you'll get 5 of those when you reach platinum, 5 when you reach titanium. The difference between Marriott and Hyatt when it comes to upgrade certificates is that with Hyatt, you can use it for up to a week. With Marriott, if you get 5 suite night certificates, you can only use 1 per night. If you have a 5-night stay, that'll burn all of your suite upgrade certificates. Whereas with Hyatt, you could just use 1 if it's all 1 continuous stay, 1 suite upgrade, and then you can stay in a suite. It's also weird with Marriott because they're like, oh, 5 days before we'll start looking to see if there's still availability. And you can actually do like a lottery bid to say, oh, I want the super nice suite, or I'm okay with the junior suite. And the more options you pick, the more likely you are to get upgraded, but they'll probably just give you the lowest one that you're okay with. So then there's like this weird game theory thing of, okay, I really, really want the really nice diplomatic suite, but would I be okay with a junior suite? Should I check my junior suite? Am I okay with like all or nothing standard room or presidential suite? So it's always so much more complicated for me to try to game through my mind, like which ones am I wanting to checkbox whenever I'm paying a Marriott suite upgrade certificate. So that's just a weird thing with Marriott versus Hyatt.
I don't know how people are able to maintain more than one status, like especially with Hyatt at 60 days. I'm like, I'm scraping like every possible stay I can get together to maintain that globalist.
I have to travel a lot now these days, not just for like the content trips internationally, but I attend different conferences and stuff in the United States. Or if my parents or my in-laws are visiting us in Las Vegas, we have a small apartment, so we will get them a hotel room somewhere and put it in my name. So that knocks out a week at a time, because my parents are going to visit me for a week at some point. My in-laws will visit us for a week at some point. So that's already at least 10 out of the 60 nights if they're each staying for 5 days instead of 7, or it could be 14 if they stay with us each for a full week. So we knock out a lot of nights that way.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm going to add that to my ideas is if someone's coming to visit. Yeah.
Yeah, then we just have them stay in a hotel room that's under my name. But anything else in Berlin that you would recommend for anybody visiting there, whether it's food or excursions or stuff that's great for teenagers, anything else like that?
Definitely do the free walking tour. I find that I usually do tours through Viator to get points for AA. And then I'm like, I'm not going to spend the extra money. I'm just going to do the free walking tour. But sometimes these tour guides are so great, I end up paying them the same amount of money that I would have paid on Viator. But at least I know the money goes directly to the tour guide and I pay them in cash. But the free walking tour in Berlin was so good. Just the description of the city and the history of the Holocaust. I mean, I think I shed a couple of tears. It was that good. To eat, we had Currywurst, which we loved. It's a German sausage. I think you can either have it with French fries, bread, or sliced potatoes. And then there's this, I think it's an extra sweet ketchup with curry powder on it. So good.
Oh, my husband loved currywurst. And one of our favorite things that we did in, I think it was in Berlin, there's something called the Futurium Museum, which is a museum of the future. And so you have like this wristband that you scan in and you make decisions along the walk of the museum of like, are you okay with robots taking care of you in your old age? Or, oh, they've discovered some medical disease. Are you okay with them like testing this new medicine on you? And at the end of the museum, you turn in your wristband and it prints you out a little card that says like, here's what your future would be like, whether it's very technology focused or like, do you live more in an urban city environment? Do you want to escape off the grid and live in like a treehouse in the middle of nowhere because technology took over the world. So it's a really, really interesting museum. It's kind of like a children's museum, but very interesting for adults as well. And it covers so many different aspects of what the future could look like, everything from data breaches and hackers to what the environment would look like and like sustainability and ecology, or what technology and artificial intelligence will look like. So this is one of my top recommendations for anybody going to Germany, is to go to the Futurium Museum. And unfortunately, when I was dropping my wristband back into the collector so it would print my card, I don't know what I did wrong, but it like broke the machine. And there was a line of German children behind me who looked very sad, and a line of German parents who looked very upset that I like wrecked the future for their children. So that happened, but the museum in itself, the exhibits are so cool. So that would be my number one excursion.
I'm glad you brought up museums. I forgot about that. So one benefit we had, we have the VentureX, and you get the Explorers for 6 months. And so there's 30 museums that are on the museum pass that you can get with the Explorers access. I used my 6 months when we went to Paris in the summer, but then I also have authorized user cards for my kids. So I was like, let me test out to see if it would work with their credit card. And it does. So we got another 6 months, and we were able to see, I think, 4 or 5 different museums on that pass. So that's definitely worth it for sure.
This is through the Cultivist thing?
Cultivist, yes.
Yeah, we did that for a couple of museums, I think in New York, and I think we went to one in Germany, possibly. Yeah, we used it at the Pergamon Museum, I think it was, in Berlin, which is like the National History Museum. A lot of the usual art things, Greek, Roman, Egyptian, and into modern art type of museum. So we used it there in Germany as well.
Yeah, there were a lot of museums from Berlin that were on that pass.
So you said after Berlin, then you went to Munich by train?
Yes. So we spent 3 nights in Berlin. Then we took the train. I want to say it was supposed to be 4.5 hours, but there was some blockage on the train. So we had to backtrack and now ended up taking 6 hours. The trains are comfortable in Europe, so it wasn't that bad. We were just kind of annoyed that we were late. And then we went to the Andaz. Kevin had told us that there was a happy hour at the Andaz, and that's what I was most upset about missing. I'm like, oh, there goes my free drink. But the Andaz in Munich, I'm like, when I grow up, I want to live here. The rooms are ultra modern. Luckily, we got one of the rooms upgraded to an Andaz suite. Julia, like the tub is situated in the middle. And the whole room is covered in windows, just like an L-shaped full of windows. It's almost 700 square feet. I don't even have words to describe how great this is. I think this was my favorite hotel for sure.
Were all of you in one room, or did you have to get 2 rooms again for this, since it was such a big suite?
You know, okay, so the correct answer is we were in 2 rooms, but I don't know if going forward, I don't know what the rules are. I'm always a little scared, but you could have fit 4 people in that room. I think when I called and asked, they said only 3 people could fit in the room. I know the fire standards are different in Europe than they are here, but your miles may vary.
Tell us more about the room. Did it come with like any cool perks or anything other than the tub being right in the middle of the room? How was it kind of partitioned?
The bathroom is partitioned off also in glass. It's almost like a little capsule inside the room. So it's not open for everyone to see you in the tub. There's a completely separate bedroom, and that's in the corner, and we had a corner suite. So there was windows on both sides. There was a separate living room, a desk area where you could work. And you also had a half bathroom in the hallway. Our kids were in the room next door. It was connecting, but not through the room. It's almost like we shared a hallway, and there were 2 separate rooms going into that hallway, and there was an external door for that hallway. The staff at the Andaz is amazing. I got to meet Kevin, one of the managers, and Kim, the guest service manager. I had sent them your template earlier. So we were celebrating my early birthday. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say that this podcast is a birthday present for myself. Tomorrow is my birthday, so I'm glad to be here with you today. I remember listening to the teacher from I Travel Freely, Zach. And I was like, oh my God, there's a teacher on here. One day I'm going to be on this podcast. Today is the day.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. We got to the Andaz at about 6 o'clock. My son looks up on the phone that the soccer game is being played 20 minutes away. And this is one of his dreams, to go to this soccer game in Germany. We dropped off our bags, jumped into the car, the taxi, visited the stadium, had a blast. It felt good to be able to give my kids something that they really wanted. And you think that, you know, how would we ever get there? How could we pay for this? But to be able to give them that, it's such a joy. We spent 2 days in Munich. We almost just used it to go to the soccer stadium and transport to the other. We didn't get to visit any of the parks. The only other thing we did, we rented a scooter and rode up and down the street. And because I'm budget friendly, I put two of us on the scooter instead of giving everyone their own scooter. That was an accident waiting to happen, but we had a blast.
Who was driving each scooter?
We put the kids in the front because I could see over them and help maneuver where we were going, because my son's taller than me. So if I was in the back, I couldn't see where we were going.
I'm horrified thinking about this entire situation. I'm so glad everybody was okay.
I'm going to post the video soon. You might be biting your fingernails and clutching your purse.
Yeah, I clenched everything just thinking about this. Just like a scooter where I imagine the kids were like in the back. And granted, you have teenagers, not small children, but still. Okay. Did you eat anything interesting in Munich? And also, what was the breakfast like at the Andaz?
I think Andaz is probably my favorite brand. The breakfast was very similar to the Grand Hyatt. I did order my Eggs Benedict with the hard yolk again. They also do have the machine for the fresh nut butter. But I checked in these hotels and I asked, how much would it have cost if we had to pay for breakfast? And I think at the Andaz, it was $44 per person. And at the Grand Hyatt, it was $48. So to be able to get that benefit was good. What was my favorite thing that I had? They had local sausages, which we got to try. German sausages, definitely a must try. I had a persimmons for the first time and figs for the first time ever.
I love figs. I had so many in Greece, but figs are amazing. So after the 2 days in Munich, did you go somewhere else in Germany, or where did you go after that?
After the first day in Munich, we got up the next day and we rented a car and we drove to Salzburg, Austria, the place where, you know, some of the Sound of Music was being recorded. And I saw Travel Dad Rob, I think is his IG name, stories about it. And we visited this castle on top of the hill, which I think is the castle that Disney, the one at the Magic Kingdom, is modeled after. We did the tram up to the hill and back. That was great. The town is super cute. It looks like out of a storybook. We also tried schnitzel, which was made from veal, and that was my first time having veal. We did like it. Yes, it was good to see them pounding it. So there's like a little display in the front where you can see them actually making it, and that was very interesting.
So you guys didn't stay in Austria because you just took a day trip by car from Munich?
Correct. We took a day trip. We got to drive on the Autobahn. I thought it was some big, massive highway. It's literally a two-lane highway.
And they go super fast on that.
They do. I was clocking and I was being asked to like move over, because even at my speed, I was still too slow. A wonderful experience to actually have been on the Autobahn.
What was the process of renting a car like?
So I rented through National Car Rental. And we opted to pick up the car rental at the Central train station. It was pretty simple. I had Emerald Elite status. She didn't acknowledge. She goes, no, that only works in the US. She goes, but since you asked, I'm going to give you a little nicer car. The check-in was in a hotel, gave your ID. They gave you the keys. It was very similar to the check-in process here. It just wasn't a big location. I thought you needed an international driver's license, but whatever driver's license you had was fine. We did have to pay an extra $6 because it was leaving the country. But other than that, everything was fine.
Did you have to do anything specific for like rental insurance or anything, or put it on any cards, or it's just you just paid for the one that was included?
No, I didn't pay for the one included. I used the Chase Sapphire Preferred that we have for the rental car coverage insurance, and they were fine with that.
Oh, that's awesome to know that that works internationally as well. Because, yeah, when you decline the rental car insurance that comes with a rental car company, your comprehension and collision coverage is covered by just paying with a Chase Sapphire card. So that's awesome.
We've used the card in different places also, and it's worked. So,
how long of a drive did you say it was from Munich to Salzburg?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, that's super close.
Yes. In fact, the manager at the Andaz was like, only Americans would do a day trip to Salzburg and come back. He goes, Germans don't like to drive that much. They would spend the weekend and then come back.
For an hour and a half?
That's what he's, yeah. They like to lounge.
I remember my family, like my parents would come up to see me in Nebraska. It was like, we had their graduation ceremony. They drove 3.5 hours in the morning, didn't stay the night, just drove back 3.5 hours after it was done. I was like, okay, cool. Yep. Nice to see you.
Yeah, that's what I said to him. I said, it takes 5 hours to get from Miami just to get out the state of Florida. So driving an hour and a half is a piece of cake.
So, okay, you went to Salzburg for a day. You're back in Munich. Did you go anywhere else in Germany after that?
We went back to the soccer stadium so we could have a tour of the FC Bayern soccer stadium. We spent the day and then we headed back to Berlin. And then we spent one night in Berlin at a Moxie close to the train station just so we could get to the airport the next day. Now, I want to say this for anyone's traveling. I'm not sure how many countries are like this, but I think we had this issue in Spain. And after the airline ticket counter lady checks your bag and says, okay, great. And we go through security. They scan your bags, same thing like you have here in TSA. And I'm thinking that, okay, we're good. Let's go check out a lounge. Fortunately for us, the lounge, we didn't have access to that lounge based on our card. And so we had to head back. I didn't know that we had passport control on exit. So like in the US, after you scan your bags, you go to your gate, you go to your lounge, and then you head to the plane. In Germany, they have to check your passport before you leave the country. So if we had spent time in the lounge that we didn't get into, we probably would have missed our flight.
That is good to know.
Yes. And second thing, after we clear passport control, we're like, okay, great, we're heading to the gate. In our particular gate, there is a second security checkpoint. And this checkpoint is the same as before. You have to go through the machine. They scan your bags through the metal detector. And even after they scan the bags through the metal detector, they check each individual bag. The security guard opened all of our bags, all of our hand luggage, and checked everything that we had in the bag. That was an extra 20 minutes.
I don't think we had any of this when we went in and out of Frankfurt because we didn't fly in and out of Berlin. We flew Singapore business class. We did the Fifth Freedom flight from JFK to Frankfurt. And then on the way back, we did Singapore Suites, which we can talk about in a bit because it was fabulous. But we didn't have any of this. You were talking about all of like the passport checks on exit. I was like, okay, like maybe we have that, but it didn't take very long at all. Now we were just in and out at Frankfurt. It was not a problem at all. The lounges were not great because Singapore Airlines didn't really have a lounge in Frankfurt. So we went to the Lufthansa lounge, which was like large and okay. And then we went to the Air Canada lounge because we went lounge hopping in Frankfurt. And it was like sad. Like the Air Canada lounge in Frankfurt was, oh, I think I had like a mini pancake and like a piece of bacon and poured syrup on it. I'm like, look at my Canadian breakfast, everybody. The actual flight on Singapore Suites was amazing.
I saw your pictures and I'm like, wow, look at that bed.
Yeah, you get a chair and a bed and you can take the wall down and connect it to another bed, which was for my husband. So we had a double bed in the sky. You have these huge TVs. They don't serve Dom Perignon anymore because that's exclusively on Emirates now, but we had that. We had Krug. Apparently I don't like Krug, it's like way too smoky for me, but the food was so good. We had like, I remember I had pork cheeks and then like some really good ramen broth. They had some kind of chicken satay stuff for us. The amenity kit was like this box that had Lalique products and they had a candle in there that smelled like Crazy Rich Asians. It was so fancy smelling. They had pajamas, which I still wear. They're amazing. And you get to keep the pajamas and the slippers and everything. So that's why we flew in and out of Frankfurt, was because of these Singapore Suites flights. But oh my God, they were absolutely incredible. It's the only time I've flown first class instead of business class internationally. And it was quite memorable. People are always like, oh, like what's the difference between business and first class? With business class, you get a lay flat seat. The food's pretty good. I mean, it's still super nice. But with first class, you don't just get the lay flat seat. Sometimes you get a pod. Sometimes you get a room. Instead of just like nice food, it's gourmet food. Like extra stuff that nobody needs. Like nobody needs Dom Perignon champagne or like the caviar with the cream and everything. Nobody needs that, but that's what you get with first class and the pajamas and everything. Versus if you're like, oh, I'm okay. I'm just kind of tall. I just need like a lay flat seat and some extra room, some extra storage. business class is great.
I don't know if this is a part of this podcast, but I booked my first class.
Tell us about that.
I blame Passion for Points for this for sure. It's from like Abu Dhabi to London.
Oh, the Etihad.
Etihad, yes. So I can't believe this is happening, but I digress.
No, that's so exciting. You were flying the room with Etihad. How many points did you spend on it?
65 times 4, so it was up 260.
That is crazy. Oh, that's still on my bucket list. I thought about booking that one, but I had too many flights booked already because I had the points, but my husband was like, no more flights this year. So maybe some other time. But speaking of points you spent, how much did you spend for points and everything for Germany? And how much would it have cost if you had to just pay for everything in cash?
Okay, so the Grand Hyatt Berlin for all 3 nights, 2 rooms each, was 72,000 points. And the estimated price for the rooms would have been about $2,000. The Andaz Munich, we spent 60,000 points. And that would have been a total of $2,500 for the 2 rooms.
Is that per night or for the whole stay?
For the whole stay.
Cool. So that is quite a bit of savings too. Have you calculated like how much you're saving on the Etihad flights?
I haven't even looked at the cash prices of that.
That is an expensive flight. I think that's probably like an $8,000 flight at least.
Per person?
Yeah.
Okay.
32 grand. That's a car.
A nice car.
That's a nice car. Crazy. So with everything that you have learned about the game of points and miles and traveling to Germany and everything else, what would you say is your number one piece of advice for listeners today that we can fit onto an Instagram quote card?
Buy refundable, think later.
And speaking of great tips, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet who gives awesome points and miles tips?
Yes. The three accounts that I definitely loved have been super helpful to me is Homeschooling on Points. That's Heather. She talks about how you can always reapply for the Chase Inc. cards. Travel Points Dad, Eric, he makes the funniest reels ever and they're always so informative. And Choose to Explore. He is a budget traveler and his tagline is see the world, save a dollar.
I love it. And where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Nicole's Travel Tips. Come see my crazy family try to tour the world.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much again, Nicole, for coming onto the show. This has been so informative for anybody who's looking to go to Germany, especially with a family and seeing how much they can save on different points hotels. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Julia. This is the best birthday present ever.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!